"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. You can hear us on the radio from 1 until 4. After 4, the iHeartRadio app has the John and Ken podcast, John and Ken on demand. Record numbers of people are now listening to this any time of the day or night.
Record numbers. Billions.
It's where the cool people go.
Last week, we did a story that actually was in the Daily Mail, the tabloid out of the United Kingdom, which picks up stories from everywhere that they can find them, that are sometimes salacious, often true. The one that we were focusing on was about homeless encampments making their way into Beverly Hills. And both of us looked at it and said, well, that doesn't really happen. But when we got to the details of the story and it led to the headline, The Nude Encampment, we realized, well, it looks like there's a group of people in the Beverly Grove neighborhood of Los Angeles, which is pretty close to the Beverly Center, San Vicente Boulevard, who apparently have taken up in a homeless encampment.
Channel 7 did a story about a nude woman laying on the sofa.
That's what really amped this story up to the next level, and she may be to blame for all of them eventually getting dismantled because she brought so much attention to the story by laying out nude that it got coverage everywhere.
It was on the front of the New York Post. It was on the front of the Daily Mail. So it's a worldwide story now that Los Angeles allows a naked woman to lay there for weeks on a sofa in the middle of a busy boulevard. This is San Vicente Boulevard. On the edge of Beverly Hills. I mean, how embarrassing can you get?
Business owners, of course, say they've been complaining. And the response from the city councilwoman, Katie Yaroslavsky, who just took that job, is that we're doing everything we can.
No, you're not. That's an out-and-out lie.
To house these people.
Katie, you're lying. If you did everything you could, it would all be gone. Stop it. Stop it. We're doing everything. No, you're not. Otherwise, they'd be gone. The woman, at least, would be gone. Good Lord. But hey, we told you. do not elect anyone with the last name of Yaroslavsky. People were warned.
So we bring on Blake Trolley for reports of vandalism now near that encampment, and we'll see what this is about.
Blake.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Where is this story, this vandalism story, exactly?
Yeah, this happened just right by the campsite at a restaurant called La Paella. It's really just right in front of this campsite here on San Vicente. And, yeah, the restaurant had its front window smashed. I've been working to reach the owner. I haven't been able to reach them quite yet, but I did go over to the restaurant to take a look. The front window of this restaurant's got a big crack in it, and the restaurant owners have put a cardboard box in place of where those cracks are to seal up the damage. Now, as you mentioned, Ken, last week, Katie Yaroslavsky said that this was unacceptable. She said that her and her staff have been working to locate housing and services for people inside this camp. I reached out to her office today. They say that that effort continues. but I spoke to other business people, guys, who seem eager to have this fixed. They're frustrated that nothing has happened. At least one of them told me that this is actually, this campsite here has been going on for a year. She said it's going on just about a year.
What do you know?
Again, that was just one, you know, the testimony of one business owner.
Okay, so Yaroslavsky, she would have taken over in December, right? After this November election. So she's had now 4 solid months to clean it up, and it's not cleaned up. We're doing everything we can.
I think this is definitely an issue as far as her administration goes, being that it is a new administration that has definitely, you know, got on their radar. Now, that said, guys, people are still very, you know, frustrated. They want something to be done right now. I want to go to this first soundbite. This is a woman who manages an interior design shop. This is very close to this restaurant that was just vandalized, by the way. And she says the camp is driving away customers. Actually, give me one second, guys. I'm having one little issue with my audio. I'm going to give me one second.
I heard her in the background there.
Yeah, it was in there. Here we go. Okay, I'm pushing in this aux cord a little bit more. Here we go.
You know, clients are scared to come to our business because they're afraid to park their cars. There's nowhere to park their cars because the homeless are taking over the parking meters. And, you know, they're afraid that they're going to do something because, you know, they're doing drugs on the street. They have weapons. They have knives. They're screaming on the street, you know, so no one wants to come and close deals with us because of the situation.
So you're an interior design firm?
Yeah.
What's it like for both of you just coming to work every day?
It's tough. Like, we find, like, a blood towel with a blood towel.
Like a towel with blood on it in front of your building?
Yeah, she found it.
Here in the front, there was, like, a pair of, like, underwear and dirty, blood-stained towel. Oh. And, you know, it's only 2 girls all day, and it's kind of scary. You know, we lock the doors, but still, you know, like, you never know.
So, again, they say they're frustrated that people are still not housed. I want to go to this other interview. This is a woman who owns a psychic shop. Now, a couple notes here before we get
she should know when the cleanup will happen, right?
That she should be able to sense it. That is true.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak to her credibility here, but that's a good point that you make there, John. I want to point this out. I did this interview while crews were working. An LA sanitation team did show up today to clean this. I know this is something that the council member has been, you know, implementing, at least in the meantime. 3 cleanups a month today. One of those was going on. And while this was happening, there was a tent in front of this woman's business, and that's important for you guys to hear as you kind of hear what she explains here.
I can't put it into words. It's just been a living nightmare. I've seen everything that I need to see through drugs, alcohol, prostitution, vulgarity, using the restroom, putting the neighbors and our customers in constant fear.
Are you okay? So this morning, the sanitation crews are here cleaning up trash.
Yeah, but that just happens like once a month, and everybody knows, the homeless people know, that this can be a place where they can leave everything. It's become the new city dump. San Vicente in Orlando has become a city dump, and they know that this is going to happen once a month. It doesn't solve anything.
And you say this guy right here refuses to move?
Absolutely.
For the clean? Is he supposed to?
He says he knows the law. He doesn't have to move, and he's not going to
move. They all know.
They all know. They all know that nobody is going to do anything to them, make them move, make them clean up, stop them from throwing garbage around, stop them from leaving their dirty underwear and their bloody towels. They know.
Guys, I want to go to this soundbite. This is a part of the story I don't think we've heard enough about, and that's homeowners. I mean, there are businesses that make the area nicer to live in or find the homeless people somewhere else to live. He says he understands people need somewhere to live. But nonetheless, he gave me some issues he's dealt with being a homeowner right here.
They go back to go in the garbage cans, you know, and I wouldn't mind that so much, but, they've taken some things from my little garden back there.
What have they taken?
Just some vegetables and things like that, vegetables. You know. And they...
vegan homeless.
They use my hose in the front of the house there.
For what?
And I don't say anything. I let them do that because, I mean, people have to have water, you know.
Is this guy stoned?
I think that they should give them more facilities. Put some... porta potties or something like that for them out there.
He's the problem. That guy's the problem. Start giving them porta potties.
Well, so they can use his hose. Yeah.
Interestingly, he led with the fact that they stole vegetables. Later on in the interview, he actually told me that he has a three-wheel bike. He's 72 years old. He says he has a three-wheel bike. They actually stole that, and he had to come back over here and get it.
Yeah.
He said he asked them how it ended up over there, and they all said, we don't know.
So. Yeah, he's the problem. I'd like to see his voting pattern over the last 50 years. I don't think he's Hey, do we know if the naked woman has... found a place to go yet?
I was looking around to see, you know, anything like that. I didn't see
you were looking for the naked woman, weren't you, Blake?
That's why you volunteered for this story, huh?
I'll bring back some audio and video.
No sign of her?
I did not see any sign of her today, but guys, I will say, you know, I mentioned that sanitation cleanup. Before that cleanup had happened, it was a real mess in the center divider here on San Vicente. There was trash really all over the place. Do you have any idea how many trash they lifted?
How many people are kind of camped there? Any idea what the size of it for an idea?
That's a really tough thing to quantify, Ken, because it's kind of spread out along San Vicente. You have tents in the center divider. You have some on the side of the road. And you turn a corner in a parking lot, you might see a couple tents. So it'd be really hard at this point to give you an exact number because it's not really grouped. It is kind of spread throughout the street here.
You know, I drove past that exact area twice a day, every day for 12 years to get to where the old KFI was. Down in Koreatown. There was never one single issue. Nothing. And if you go down those streets to the east, you're not too far from Hancock Park, where there's, you know, gorgeous estates.
This area is pretty nice. I had to, you know, walked to get a coffee this morning, and, you know, I walked by a Lamborghini dealership. I mean, that kind of gives you the idea.
Well, yeah, it's on the edge of Beverly Hills and not far from Hancock Park. So even the in-between area is probably higher than average incomes and property values.
Yeah, I mean, the street where that guy said they were using his hose and going through his trash, I mean, there's no way that's low rent. That's outside my affordability.
All right, Blake, thank you very much for that report. Good job.
All right, thanks, guys.
Blake Froehlich collecting lots of audio from business owners and a homeowner near this homeless encampment in Beverly Grove. This neighborhood is very close to Beverly Hills, and we're seeing more stories that homeless encampments of Los Angeles are starting to impinge right on the borders of Beverly Hills. And
hey, Gabe, so what's Karen Bassetti doing? I mean, you can give up on Katie Arislavsky. She's genetically incapable of doing anything.
Well, her thing was the larger, more troubling encampments they would go after first. So she ought to put this on the list.
This sounds larger and more troubling.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, it's on a major street. It's in the news everywhere. And Arislavsky and Bassetti do nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you think the next day they would have dismantled that camp. The next day. They can't be embarrassed.
We got more coming up. As soon as we return, we still have the KFI Inflation Compensation Contest. So be listening for the keyword. You got John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, we've been talking about the homeless encampment. San Vicente again, John, but the part of San Vicente you were railing about for years is further on the west side.
There's two separate San Vicentes, which really confused me when I first got here. This one is north-south and runs along the east side of Beverly Hills on the border.
I mean, San Vicente is famously known to cut across the city of Los Angeles.
Yes.
That's eventually what it does. Because I've seen it way over, like you said, towards Koreatown and then it heads south.
Mm-hmm.
But
to the airport, almost.
Yeah, so we've had...
No, that's Las Cienegas, sorry.
San Vicente cuts across. It starts sort of on the northwest and makes its way to the southeast as it heads across Los Angeles. Oh, just to clarify, because I don't think we've actually made this clear yet, the city councilwoman for the area, and she's brand new, it covers this Beverly Grove neighborhood where we're seeing this homeless encampment that apparently, at least for a while, included a nude woman on a couch and now is sparking real problems for business owners, is Katie Yaroslavsky. She is not Zev's daughter. She is his daughter-in-law.
Is that right?
Yeah. Zev spawned two children, David and Mina. David is a Los Angeles Superior Court judge. His wife is Katie, young Yaroslavsky.
Funny how she... so many women don't take their husband's name, but she did because it was going to be electoral gold for her, huh?
Think you got it. Although, you know, she went by, I guess, Katie Young.
So it's not a genetic problem.
No, it's her father-in-law is Zev. People who don't know, Zev was on the Los Angeles City Council way too many years, on the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors way too many years. He was another load and a dud.
Pompoon of gigantic proportions.
Yes. I mean, very loud and obnoxious and chatty. And
blowhard.
Now the Times calls on him for advice on issues. But this is not his daughter, but his daughter-in-law. And we were talking to Blake Trolley, who went to this area today on San Vicente and got some audio from business owners and a homeowner who complained that they were taking the vegetables out of his garden and drinking from his hose. I actually witnessed something like that. The gym where I work out, there's a little outdoor area, and there's like a hose by the side of the building. And there was a vagrant who we spotted for maybe a week or two. He'd kind of walk around, looked really drugged out. Kind of a young guy, too. And he walked up, and he wanted to drink from that hose, and one of the trainers ran out there. It was like, no.
Yes.
And he said to me later, I just don't think that was healthy. That he would drink from that hose. It's disgusting.
He was worried about the health of the vagrant.
He was kind of saying that, yes.
What is wrong with people?
Move along. We hate you.
No, you have to get them out or you're going to get more. You're going to end up with a line. There's going to be 112 of them lined up to drink water.
And
they're all going to be swarming your vegetable garden.
He disappeared like many of the vagrants in many, fortunately, still a number of neighborhoods, not in Los Angeles. The vagrants eventually do disappear.
They do not camp
and become permanent for months.
You make them feel unwelcome. Right?
Somebody probably did. I don't know. This guy eventually went away.
You don't have to harm them. You make them feel unwelcome. And then they're not going to go near your vegetables or your hose. You have to say, hey, get out of there.
And it's something else to be said. When you stand out, you will be moved on. What's happened in Los Angeles and some of these streets we're talking about, when the homeless take over and normalize the situation, when you got 10 or 15 of them there, it doesn't become that they stand out so much. They're part of the neighborhood.
They're wallpaper.
Yeah, they're wallpaper.
They're the landscape now. Oh, we're in Los Angeles. Of course there's 50 filthy homeless living on the median of a major boulevard. How am I? I don't understand the human reaction to all this. This should have never happened for a day anywhere. Every time you saw a tent, somebody with the city should have said, you got to go out. You got to go out every day. Then you would have ended up spending a tiny, minuscule fraction of the money, 1/1,000,000th of the money now you're spending. But that's what I'm saying. I think this is just about keeping the homeless industrial complex going. Just keep providing millions and millions of dollars to all these nonprofits so that people who work for the nonprofits and management make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. This is an industry.
Now, a better story is coming out of Venice, where they have a councilwoman named Tracy Park. This is John Cobelt's councilwoman that he voted for. They just passed a resolution, the Los Angeles City Council, to prohibit RVs from being parked along a number of streets in Venice between the hours of 2 to 6 a.m. Now, what's always important about this is enforcement. Just because you pass it doesn't mean anything is going to happen unless you go out there and tell these people you will be towed.
But
they're claiming in this story they have the capacity to tow and they will tow.
Suddenly they do? Because a few months ago, the city was saying, well, we only have one tow truck and we don't have a yard to tow them to. So I guess that turned out that was a big lie, too.
It's that of course, Bologna wetlands is the story. We always get there. We don't have enough capacity for all those RVs.
Those are lies. There. See, they're lies. And there's no resistance to the lies. There's nobody in power, right? No politicians. Nobody in the media. Nobody that's formed an activist group that anybody's afraid of to say, no, that's a lie. In fact, we can prove you're lying. Yeah, I'm sure there's a master list, and it's probably in the public domain, of every single parcel of land that the city owns and which ones are vacant and which ones you could park RVs on.
All right, we got more coming up. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And how hard was it to pass an ordinance? No RV parking between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. Whoa, that was tough. What'd that take, 10 minutes?
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Join the millions who are flocking now to the podcast.
Millions?
Millions flocking to the podcast. That's right. And it's at John and Ken on Demand, iHeartRadio app. And you after 4 o'clock, The show is put on the podcast, and you can listen to it anytime you want.
It'd be hard to put it up there before we've actually done it. So,
but yesterday's is up there.
Yesterday's show?
Oh, and the day before? And there's actually years worth of shows up there.
What did we do on yesterday's show? I don't think I was a part of it.
That's right. You didn't come.
No, I didn't.
Oh, too bad.
Was Deborah Mark there?
Hmm? You didn't. You missed our. We had Donald Trump on. We had Elon Musk on.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Look at that. I was watching some of the NBA playoffs and watched the Lakers, and I missed the big John and Ken show on a Sunday.
You wondered where I was. That's right.
It's Nobody texted me
all
to
these,
say, wow,
all these big
we got
guests,
Trump and Musk.
He would have been excited to be here, right?
Very great. All right, try not to laugh, but I have a bit of breaking news. Well, it's not exactly breaking news. We've had a lot of fun over the past couple of months because last fall, the weather researchers were predicting for the state of California for the winter a La Nina pattern. La Nina generally means less rain than normal and probably colder temperatures. Well, we did have colder temperatures, but boy, by the time we got to January and February, did we have rain? And they were way off. Weather models are now suggesting that we're going to shift. We're seeing the end of the La Nina pattern, and we have a high chance of shifting this coming winter, I know it's months away, to El Nino. So should we plan for the opposite? It says here the transition may result in restoration of wetter than normal patterns come fall and winter in California. Well, you were so off with the last one. Are you really telling us that you bothered to even put out a model prediction?
That's what's funny about just everybody if you have a public business, right? Everybody makes wild predictions. They're completely wrong. Next day, they jump right back in with another one. You see this in politics all the time and in media. They're constantly, economists, for example. Everybody is making predictions. Always wrong. Next day, right back at it. Go ahead. Same thing here. I mean, the rain just stopped. It just stopped. And the Chronicle's got the story about, here's the only thing is, if you read deep into this.
Well, I like the way they have something called the ENSO, E-N-S-O, which stands for El Nino Southern Oscillation. It responds to shifts in wind directions across the Pacific Ocean as high and low pressure systems move around and alter sea surface temperatures. Generally, there are three phases of an oscillation: La Nina, neutral, and El Nino. So after two consecutive La Nina winters, California started out with wet weather, and suddenly ENSO shifted to neutral by March. I guess that's the pattern out there
right
in the ocean.
But that was after all the rain. We were in a La Nina phrase until March. Sometime in March, it went to neutral. It says here that the Climate Prediction Center, and you have to go to the next to last paragraph of this story, the Climate Prediction Center is forecasting a 41% chance that a strong El Nino develops by November. Well, that means there's almost a 60% chance that it doesn't.
Hmm. Well, so, it could be a milder El Nino develops by.
Listen to this paragraph. If that plays out, California could expect a return of atmospheric rivers, including the Pineapple Express between Hawaii and Southern California. This may result in another wet season with active weather and flooding. But different weather patterns could dull such an El Nino signal, too. Whether or not the state could see such a repeat is murky. But for now, the 41% chance suggests that such a scenario isn't out of the question. Well, what are we supposed to make of all that?
Yeah, they wrote, too, like any weather phenomenon, El Nino and La Nina can vary widely in their scope and intensity. So this past winter was a great example of a weak La Nina. Was it really? To the point where the onslaught of storms in the California coast felt counterintuitive to what's expected in La Nina patterns.
Yeah. Like about 28 inches of counterintuitive.
They're trying to say now there's many shades of both El Nino and La Nina.
So then what's the point of the article? Then announcing an El Nino or La Nina is pointless.
No, I only brought it up because I thought it was funny.
They
put out this story to tell us, and again, you should probably plan for the opposite. We're probably going to have a dry year.
No. I agree with you. I think we should get on the record here and let everybody know how badly they botched the last forecast. And while the media is trying to scare everybody, it could be another... They have no idea. They don't know how this works. They study it, and because they all went and got graduate degrees, they can explain this in a lot of detail that normal people can't, but it doesn't mean they know what's going to happen. And I think that's a real disconnect. It's like they can explain how this works, but they can't predict when it's going to work this way. They can only tell you what happened after it happened. They can describe the whole process. But there's no prediction mechanism that's of any value.
Yeah, these prediction models are really... my point was, I was thinking, I was reading this, if El Nino often occurs because the waters get warmer, well, we should be ending up in a permanent pattern if everything they say about climate change is right. All the waters are going to... like the air temperature or the water temperature probably all going to get water. We'd be in a permanent El Nino, wouldn't we? And I think that was the gist of a story in the Times. It was a few months ago that we could have such incredible... drenching rainstorms where it may not rain for months and then it could rain an entire month and flood out all over parts of California. I remember reading that.
Yeah, except, again, if you look at the history of L.A. rain going back to 1871, it's always been that way. You know, to this day, the biggest rainfall total in the history of Los Angeles happened in the 1880s. So it's always been this way. And that's why you have to dig a big hole, big reservoir to catch the rain, because it's got to tide you over for several years. Because this is naturally a semi-arid climate, like a semi-desert climate, and we know this. Nothing's really, it might be a degree warmer on average here, a degree lower there, but in fact, when I was looking at the year-by-year, month-by-month temperature differences, when I discovered that this was the coldest winter since 79, right? But I'm looking, and you're talking about a really mild winter. The average temperature is 59. A really cold winter, the average temperature is 55. It's not that massive a difference.
Yeah, I know. They often make a big deal out of just a few degrees.
Yeah.
Right. So, I even hear that in the TV weather. We got a warming trend coming in there. Look at their map, and it's going to go up 3 degrees. All right, I guess that's a warming trend. You consider it that. I consider that to be negligible.
In fact, in this here, for this upcoming El Nino pattern to make a serious impact in California, there likely would need to be a strong warming in the eastern tropical Pacific Ocean, about a degree and a half above average.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
It's all it takes to drench us with rain.
And then we're told, global warming, disastrous rain. It warmed a degree and a half. Oh, my God.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
It's time for Dodger baseball tonight. Dodgers take on the Mets.
Are you going?
Tomorrow night. tonight they're at Dodger Stadium. First pitch at 7. Listen to the game tonight and games all season long in HD on the free iHeartRadio app, live from the Galpin Motors broadcast booth. Keyword AM 570 LA Sports.
Coming up after Mayor Bassetti is gonna, it's very exciting, John, deliver her first State of the City speech. And the part we're gonna focus on is, what a surprise, she's gonna ask to get more cops, to hire more police officers. This is a woman who denies it, but, you know, back in 2020, when defund the police was a hot topic, she was pretty sympathetic to that idea.
Yeah.
When she was in Congress.
Well, so, I want to see her actually hire the cops. Otherwise, she's doing the Newsom trick. Get a nice, big, cheap headline to give a hook to her speech. A year from now, are there going to be more cops on the street or not? Or are they going to have a bunch of excuses? In fact, she's already giving out excuses why it's not going to happen.
All right, so we'll get to that. Plus, we'll talk about the mayhem in Compton when there was a street takeover situation going on. These are back again where guys show up in their Hot Wheels and they start doing spin-outs, burnouts, and donuts in an intersection. And the mob shows up to whip out their phones and witness this. It's very exciting until someone gets hurt. Well, This mob then proceeded to take over a gas station. They broke into an Arco, a little snack stand in there, and wow, mayhem ensued. We'll talk to Corbin Carson coming up in the 2 o'clock hour too about that story. Speaking of the police, this odd story is making pretty big news today. Two men have been arrested on charges they helped establish a secret police station in New York City on behalf of the Chinese government. How's that for infiltration? About three dozen police officers with China's National Police Force have been charged with using social media to harass dissidents who are in the United States. Wow. It's part of the Chinese government trying to disrupt American pro-democracy activists. So they not only do a good job where you can't speak out in your own country or in China against them, they now have people here to punish those Chinese people in the United States who are fomenting dissent among the Chinese people.
Well, they track everybody. And that's why this TikTok thing is real. The idea that TikTok exists in order to track Americans.
Right.
And a lot of people, especially younger people, say, oh, no, come on. No, that's what the Chinese do. The Chinese have a very intricate, elaborate system to track their own people in the country and around the world. And look how far they'll go. Fake police station in New York.
Yeah, they had what they did was they opened an office inside a building in Manhattan's Chinatown neighborhood. It was considered the local branch of the Chinese Ministry of Public Security. That's what they call it, Ministry of Public Security.
Yeah,
the two men were arrested.
They have a double talk name for everything.
Yeah, it's usually to make you feel like they're doing something good for everyone.
Well, yeah, you have to disguise it. You have to fool people.
They deleted a bunch of communications when the FBI went in there to nab them. The men were identified as Harry Lu Zhuang, 61, of the Bronx, and Chen Jingping, 59, of Manhattan. Not young guys. They're both U.S. citizens, arrested at their homes this morning. At no point did the men register with the Justice Department as agents of a foreign government. That's one violation. And although the secret police station did perform some basic services, such as helping Chinese citizens renew their Chinese driver's license, it also served a more sinister function, which was helping the Chinese government locate these pro-democracy activists of Chinese descent who were living in California. They were helping them find them. So that was kind of their little operation they had going on.
Oh, yeah. I imagine they have a lot of that stuff because there's so many Chinese living here and wealthy Chinese and people who left China because they wanted to take their wealth here, have their kids educated here, or born here and to get away from the oppression. Right. You know, it's like all the rich people who move out of California. It's the same idea. It's the same oppression. Right. So, they'll speak badly of China in public and they're tracked down. Who knows? Maybe they disappear one day. That's what Russia is doing. Russia put away a guy just this week, 25 years for speaking out publicly against Putin in the war.
Yeah, well, yeah. China's the bigger threat only because, and we don't seem to get this, and because they're good friends with the Bidens, but because the Bidens have made a lot of money off of Chinese business dealings. But they really do want world domination.
Yeah.
And I would take seriously the thought that they're going to try to grab Taiwan back. They got Hong Kong back, but that was a peaceful situation with the British government, but they'll try to get Taiwan eventually. They do want world domination. They want to be the biggest economy. They want to be what the U.S. has been for years.
Do you know what
in terms of the dominant influence on the globe?
The big danger in taking over Taiwan to our economy is that is where most of the semiconductor,
the chips,
computer chip production is done.
Yeah,
every electronic item that we use in life, including your car, obviously your computers and phones and, you know, your refrigerator, everything runs on computer chips. And a huge percentage is made in Taiwan. And that is why, and this is one of the few things I think Biden did properly, or the people who actually run the country, whoever they are, is they were putting in a lot of federal money to help private business set up these chip factories in America because the chip factories in Taiwan are in danger. China can invade Taiwan tomorrow, and unless we're willing to go into a major war, there goes the chip industry, and we're going to be at the mercy of the Chinese. And if
I think about this, I'm like, what are we really going to do if they do decide to invade Taiwan and take it back? Are we really going to send troops there or do anything, militarily with the Air Force?
That's the game of chicken.
Or with the ships, military? I have no idea. I mean, just like Russia invading Ukraine.
Right.
I mean, we're trying to help Ukraine with the back channel military aid, but really, what are we going to do if they invade Taiwan?
So that's why they're setting up these chip factories in the United States, because in case something goes haywire in Taiwan, that would shut down our economy. If we couldn't buy any more semiconductor chips, that's it. We're done. We're going to go back to farming our own vegetables to live.
We can. No, we would just be in a less technically complex world like we were, 20 or 30 years ago?
Yeah, but
there wasn't that much in computers
every business
and phones.
Every business depends on it now. Everything is built to
you
run.
You just have to take out the ledger and do everything by hand again. One funny thing, they have charged a bunch of Chinese officials who are in China. So just like that world court that's going after Putin for war crimes, good luck rounding up the Chinese officials you're charging in this operation to arrest Chinese dissidents in the U.S. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about Mayor Bassetti. She's going to make a big speech today. It's just the dopey state of the city speech, rah-rah. But one thing she's going to talk about is bringing LAPD back to 10,000 cops. Bit of a surprise, and that this woman...
I scoff.
You scoff.
I scoff.
Well, we're also going to talk about how much they've just lost. So many police officers have quit, moved on, retired, and they haven't been replaced. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeart Radio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.